Fasten your seatbelt. Turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
But a hot cornet can, like Betty Boop can do, a saxophone can go. But a saxophone can, like Betty Boop can do, this little miss would never miss a chance for vocal tuning. And anytime and anywhere you can hear this lady crooning, an auto horn can go. But an auto horn can, like Betty Boop can do.
Today on Route 51, our travels take us geographically to Wisconsin Rapids and back in time to the late 20s and early 30s, the age of the speakeasy, the Tommy gun, and the flapper, the golden age of cartoon animation, and the birth of the talkie, movies with sound that would revolutionize the industry and move America's love affair with Hollywood to a new level. Inside this rich cultural stew came a vital ingredient from central Wisconsin, a cartoonist and animator from Wisconsin Rapids, a man named Grim Natwick, who was hired by movie producer Max Fleischer to create a new animated cartoon character to compete with Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse. Grim Natwick created a revolutionary and somewhat scandalous character, Betty Boop, a flapper modeled on a vaudeville singer named Helen Kane, and a female icon that would symbolize the era and be the focus of a series of cartoons that were aimed at adults and not children. Betty Boop's influence is still being felt today as the community of Wisconsin Rapids celebrates the very first Betty Boop Wisconsin Festival, and that is in the first weekend in August. Our guest today, joining us by phone, Festival Director Kathy Miles, and here in our studio, artist and festival volunteer Jeannie Weymouth, and Dave Engel, Wisconsin Rapids City Historian and Director of the South Wood County Historical Museum. We're going to have a fun show. We're going to be playing a clip from an animator who knew Grim Natwick, who died at the age of 100 back in 1990. We'll be playing some musical clips from the early Betty Boop cartoons, and hopefully we'll be hearing from you. 261-6371, if you'd like to join the conversation, that's 261-6371, or toll-free, anywhere you're listening, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Kathy, you still with us in Wisconsin Rapids?
I am. Hello.
I understand that you're kind of busy.
We are swamped. It's 2 weeks before the beginning of the festival, and it's our first festival. So there's a huge learning curve going on here, but we have so many volunteers and so many activities going on.
And we've also got Jeannie Weymouth in our studio. Jeannie, welcome to Route 51.
Thank you so much.
And we should mention to our audience that you have a Wisconsin Public Radio background. If you could just briefly explain that. It goes back to, what, the late 70s and early 80s? You worked with Larry Mueller, I understand.
Late 70s, early 80s, I worked with Larry Mueller, Margaret Andreasen, all kinds of folks, Gene Faraca. And my name was Dosh then, in case anybody remembers that. And it's really fun to be back on the air.
And you're working as a volunteer with this group and also an artist. We'll be talking about some of your some of the artwork that's led to the development of a Betty Boop mascot for Wisconsin Rapids. And Dave Engel, this is not only an event celebrating Wisconsin Rapids and hopefully bringing a lot of people to the city, but it's something that is right up your alley because it emphasizes the history of that community.
Well, who'd have guessed that this was going to happen? Because probably in the 1950s, Grim Natwick and Betty Boop were pretty unknown in our hometown.
Right.
But I'm a hometown boy myself, and I kind of identify with them.
And Kathy Miles, you know, that leads to the next question. What led you to organize this festival? As Dave said, animators generally aren't well known in society, and even in his hometown, I imagine most people never heard of Grim Natwick.
You know, it's surprising that he isn't better known, but I can tell you, among the world of animators, he's a god. I run into animators all over the world, and they thought the world of him. But most animators' names aren't known to the rest of the world. We know Walt Disney, of course, because he put his name out there in front of everything. But
he was a successful businessman on top of being an animator.
Exactly, but that's not the case for most animators who are the artists behind behind their works. The beginning of this, I think, is a really interesting story, and it goes back about 6 years when our Community Foundation of Greater Southwood County and the Heart of Wisconsin Business Alliance, which is our Chamber of Commerce, got together to deal with the issue of how our community was going to face the loss of upwards of 4,000 jobs because of the sale of the paper industry here. And out of that, they organized what's called the Community Progress Initiative, and they got citizens to come together and talk about what we could do, how we could take the future of our community into our own hands and help it to sustain itself, help it to become viable. Different cluster groups were organized. We had one that wanted to have downtown revitalization, for example, another one focusing on tourism. Out of that, we eventually had one focusing on arts and heritage, and that group began to talk about, that group first did a whole series of murals around town, which has really enlivened the town, but about 3 years ago or so or more, we began to talk about the fact that Grim Natwick and his connection to Betty Boop were something that, although our historical museum has a great display on, it was maybe something that we hadn't taken advantage of enough because she is so well known. So why not build on that? And out of that came the idea of looking at the 80th anniversary of the first appearance of Betty Boop. Her first appearance was on August 9th, 1930. So about 2.5 years ago, we decided that we would focus on an event to take place on the 80th anniversary.
So you've been working on this for some time. What are some of the highlights of the event that's coming up?
Oh, there are so many. I hardly know where to start. We have a film festival featuring animation, Betty Boop cartoons, Hollywood classic cartoon animations, and modern Wisconsin filmmakers who are working in the field of animation.
And my notes tell me that's at the McMillan Memorial Library Fine Arts Center on August 6th, 7th, and 8th.
It is, and along with that, we have an award-winning filmmaker coming into town whose film, Sita Sings the Blues, the character in that has been compared to Betty Boop. She's a very different character, but no less a critic than Roger Ebert made note of that character's
who's
resemblance.
The filmmaker?
The filmmaker is Nina Paley, and her film is absolutely wonderful, stunning. The film festival is just going to be such a fun and exciting part of this. But along with that, we have exhibits at the Historical Museum and the Cultural Center, an arts and collectibles show.
Betty
and
Boop
Jeannie can tell you about our Betty Boop Bash.
I sure can.
All right. Well, Jeannie, tell us about the Betty Boop Bash.
Well, I wonder if I could back up just 1 second tell a little bit more about how the Arts and Heritage Cluster was sent by the Community Progress Initiative to some small towns in northwestern North Carolina. They had lost their economic base because a lot of the furniture industry had been outsourced, and so they were trying to recreate themselves. One of the towns we went to was called Spruce Pine, and they looked around and they thought, what can we do to make this town a little more, you know, viable now that we've lost our economic base? And they thought, well, we've got Christmas trees. So they hired an author to write a book called The Perfect Christmas Tree. And from that, they blossomed. They have they had like an art gallery. They had a whole industry associated with this book. And then tourists started coming to Spruce Pine because it was called Home of the Perfect Christmas Tree. Anyway, this group of people, there were about 11 of us, came home, and we had our meeting at the museum, and we were talking about, what do we have? What do we have? And then we realized we were sitting right next to the Betty Boop exhibit, And then someone said, and did you know it's her 80th birthday coming up, or 80th anniversary in 2010? And it was like,
well,
boom.
She looks pretty good for 80 years old, doesn't she?
She sure does, yes. I don't know what her secret is, but she looks great.
So you've got a Betty Boop Bash, and it's at the Centralia Center Riverwalk. What's happening with that?
Right. It's on Friday night, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a party and a dance. Starts at 6:30, goes until midnight. And for the first 2 hours, we're going to have it catered by Great Expectations. It's a wonderful catering business in Wisconsin Rapids. And we have local entertainment. We have a group called The Locals, and they're children, and they sing fabulously with drums and guitar and that kind of thing. Then a woman who actually lives in Wausau, her name is Tracy Steinbrink. She used to live in Wisconsin Rapids, mm-hmm. performs as Betty Boop. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a dance, a 4-minute dance by the Academie de la Danse, and then some oldies but goodies, songs like Yes, We Have No Bananas Today, some sing-along, until 8:30. And at 8:30, then our DJ is going to take over, and he's going to play vintage music, rock and roll. We're encouraging people, if they'd like to dress like in the 30s, 40s, or even dress like Betty Boop, please do.
That would be fun.
It really would. I'm trying to find a retro dress. So.
And then you've got a Betty Boop Festival review. Kathy, what's that all about?
Yes, that is a selection of music from the era of Betty Boop, mostly from the 1930s. A lot of wonderful, wonderful music came out of that time, and I think we'll be hearing some of people's favorites. We have a guest performer coming in from New York who will be appearing with three of our local actresses in this, and there will be four performances of that at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
And Kathy, you said, you know, they'll be performing like kind of in the style of like Cole Porter, Irving Berlin. We'll hear songs like It's De Lovely, Night and Day, You're the Top. Kind of a trip down memory lane for a lot of people, and just kind of a fun exposure for those who didn't grow up with that kind of music.
And the music is great. You know, it was one thing about the pop music from that era, it is just beautifully written, and it's good to hear it's still being performed. Shine, Show, and Ride Downtown. Kathy, what's that all about?
Oh, this, we think this is a fun addition to the festival. It turns out that a lot of motorcycle riders are huge Betty Boop fans, and the director of our Convention Visitors Bureau happens to be a motorcycle enthusiast, and he thought it'd be a great idea to add this element on. So we will be having a Shine and Show for motorcycles on Saturday in downtown Wisconsin Rapids, and with vendors, food vendors, crafts vendors, all sorts of vendors there. The next day there will be a ride along the Cranberry Highway, which is a beautiful scenic route that it goes mostly south and west of mm-hmm. Wisconsin Rapids.
And then you've also got the Corvettes of the North car cruise happening the same weekend. Now, this is something that you have every year, but it just coincides with this festival.
Yes, and we think it's a great idea to have motorcyclists coming into town the same weekend as the car cruise. We think that there will be a lot of interest from one group to see what's happening with the other group, kind of add a little spice to what's happening in town.
And then an arts and collectibles show at the Hotel Mead. Is that going to focus on the Betty Boop era, or is that going to focus on just about anything that you might want to collect or look at?
Yes, that is wide open, but I do want to mention that coming in for that is the Betty Boop collectibles expert, Denise Hagopian. She's coming in from California for this. And Denise will be giving a series of talks about Betty Boop, the collectibles, the Fleischer family from the Fleischer studios where Betty was first created, mm-hmm. and also the early animators. And she will she has offered to evaluate one item per person. They can bring in a Betty Boop item pre-1975, and she'll help them with an assessment of that. So we think that's going to be a big draw because there are a lot of Betty Boop collectors and a lot of Betty Boop fans here.
And I don't want to miss anything here. You've also got a Nia Paley and a Dave Coverley art exhibit, and you've got the Grim Natwick Hollywood Archives exhibit at the Southwood County Historical Museum. Dave Engel, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, we've been talking about Betty Boop mainly, but Grim Natwick is more than Betty Boop. Before he got around to helping create that character, he was one of the best-known illustrators of music covers, and we have a wall of sheet music covers that he created earlier in his life, and that's something new as of this year. Not much associated with him before, but that's how he started out. He was a favorite of the musician W.C. Handy, and he illustrated the cover of St. Louis Blues, for example.
Oh, that's that is a classic song. I mean, that's the song that actually started the blues and turned it into a national phenomenon. And Grim Natwick illustrated the cover of that sheet music? That's amazing.
That is correct, and I understand he was a favorite of W.C. Handy, who brought him to Chicago to do that work.
Well, this is all happening in Wisconsin Rapids, August 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's the Betty Boop Festival, just based on favorite son Grim Natwick, who lived to a ripe old age of 100, died in the year 1990. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to play an interview with somebody who actually knew him. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
At the mall, way up high, here are you and here am I. Oh, no, something so sudden, instant cold, unexplained, that nothing tried, nothing gained. Oh, come on, honey, do something
ba-do. Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about the Betty Boop Festival in Wisconsin Rapids with festival director Kathy Miles and also Jeannie Weymouth, who's an artist and a volunteer, and Dave Engel of the Southwood County Historical Museum. If you'd like to comment on the influence of Betty Boop in your life, or how much you love those cartoons, or maybe you knew Grim Natwick. There are some people who did, the artist who made it all possible in Wisconsin Rapids. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. Time is slipping away from us, so I'm not going to be able to play the interview with Stephen Wirth until after the news break. But before we broke for the news, or while we broke for the underwriter's announcements, Dave Engel, you were telling me that you knew Grim Natwick.
Earlier I said that he was somewhat unknown to us in the 50s, but by the 1980s, he was becoming somewhat famous in his hometown, and we had some interest in his artwork and so forth. So as a frequent visitor to Wisconsin Rapids, I was able to meet with him at his nephew's house. His nephew's still living in Wisconsin Rapids. And talk about Betty Boop, just one of many topics, and his boyhood in Wisconsin Rapids, which he was always nostalgic about Wisconsin Rapids and very fond of his life along the river. This was one of my first interviews with a really old guy. He's about 90 at the time. He sat down in the chair at his nephew John Natwick's, and he talked for 3 hours without ever getting up.
Wow.
And I thought these old guys had to get up every 10 minutes.
That's something else. And the people who knew him talked about his love of life, his vibrancy,
yep,
and
right.
It certainly came across in his artwork. What led a young man growing up in Wisconsin Rapids in central Wisconsin, a relatively isolated place in the early part of the last century, to end up in New York City working for Max Fleischer and then creating this iconic flapper character that we all know today? How did that happen, Dave?
The Wisconsin Rapids at that time was maybe not the backwaters that you think of it as. In fact, for much of the 20th century, as the world headquarters of a certain type of paper, Consolidated Paper Company, it was home to a lot of well-educated and interested people. So he wasn't as much of an anomaly as you're thinking of. An actor, James Daly, is from Wisconsin Rapids, and he was on the television and show Medical Center. A lot of the people have college degrees, especially in the sciences, so it's not that weird.
But an animator ending up in New York City, what brought him there?
Well, he was drawing all the way back to grade school. He had people encouraging him. Rapids actually had a very good school system at the time. He went to Chicago earlier and moved on to New York later to do the cartoons.
When we come back, we're going to be talking to a world-famous animator, Stephen Wirth, who will share some of his experiences with Grim Natwick. And we're also going to be talking about this lady, Helen Kane, who was a vaudeville queen back in the 20s that Betty Boop was actually modeled after. Now, if you look at Helen Kane, you look at those big doughy eyes and the spit curls, looks exactly like Betty Boop. Our guest, Kathy Miles. She's a festival coordinator. Dave Engel of the Southwood County Historical Museum. Artist Jeannie Weymouth. We've got a lot to talk about. We'd like you to join us. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back after this short break.
Hey, good. Carry it down. You belong to me. When you sat the fatty cock, you diplomacy. Hey, good, carry yourself, you belong to me. Beware of frozen tongues, ooh, socks and buns, ooh, cross-eyed ones.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Mobrig. Today we're previewing the first annual Betty Boop Festival being held in Wisconsin Rapids the weekend of August 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, all in the memory of and honoring the legacy of Grim Natwick, a Wisconsin Rapids native who was the animator who created Betty Boop, the great iconic flapper and merchandising phenomenon. Our guests, festival director Kathy Miles, also Jeannie Weymouth, who is a an artist working at the festival, and Dave Engel of the Wood County, the Southwood County Historical Museum. Kathy Miles, I just mentioned that Betty was a merchandising phenomenon. That is putting it mildly, is it not?
Oh, you have that right. I can tell you that I was walking on the Royal Mile in Edinburgh, and there was the All Scotland store, and right in the front window was a pink T-shirt with Betty waving a Scottish flag. So she is all over the place. One of our volunteers just came back from Italy, and she was commenting how Betty is so popular in Italy. She is a merchandise. That is correct. Phenomenon.
And Jeannie, as an artist, you got to do your own version of Betty. You created the mascot for the festival.
Yes, I made a life-size Betty Boop, and she is pretty darn accurate. And what we do is we take her around to various places, take pictures of her, and our newspaper, the Daily Tribune, runs these pictures, and they all have the caption, "Where's Betty?" So people have to kind of guess where Betty is. But one time in the fall, I had taken Betty to NEPCO County Park, and it was a beautiful day, and it was, you know, the leaves were red, and it was just gorgeous, and I set her up to have a picnic, and then I was just putting her then into my trunk, and she really has very lifelike legs, and these people drove by and looked at me. They were kind of aghast, and I said, "Oh, that's okay. She's not alive."
Right. Anything for publicity, right?
Yeah. Didn't occur to me. I was waiting for the sirens to be coming in the distance.
Any kind of publicity is good publicity. That's the old shibboleth. Dave Engel, we were talking about Grim Natwick being an artist coming from a small community, and you mentioned there's a parallel with Bob Dylan in a lot of ways.
1997, I published a book on Bob Dylan's boyhood in Hibbing, Minnesota. And since that time, I've been coming up with a lot of parallels between Hibbing and Wisconsin Rapids. And in fact, they are pretty similar. And Bob Dylan came out of a town very similar to the town that Grim Natwick came out of. So it isn't that surprising to me that a small Midwestern town would produce a New York artist or a world figure.
Stephen Wirth is somebody who's a world-class animator, and Kathy Miles, he's going to be part of the festival, and he also spent some time with Grim Natwick in his golden years. Kathy, tell us about Stephen's appearance at the festival before we play the clip.
Yes, Stephen has put together a collection of drawings by Grim Natwick and drawings by other animators that worked with him. That's on display at the Southwood County Historical Museum. And Stephen will also be coming to talk about Grim, to talk about him, his work, animation, film. So we're really, really grateful to have him as a guest. He was the person who curated Grim's personal works of art when he died. So I think Stephen's probably the Grim Natwick expert out in Hollywood.
Well, we had a chance to talk to Stephen Wirth yesterday. He's at a big comic book convention in San Diego and said that there'd be no way he could get a cell phone signal out. But we did talk to him, and here are his reflections on Grim Natwick, Wisconsin Rapids native, and the guy who created Betty Boop.
Well, I was friends with Grim Natwick. I knew him back when I was in college. I looked him up in the phone book and found out that he was living in Santa Monica. And I loved animation, wanted to go into it as a career. So I gave him a call and asked if I could come listen to stories. And he was gracious enough to sit on his front porch with me many afternoons and talk until the sun went down.
How old was he at that time?
He was about 96 years old. He lived to be 100. We threw a huge birthday party for him on his 100th birthday. And animators from his entire career, going all the way back to the silent era, were there to welcome him and wish him a happy birthday.
How influential do you think he's been in popular culture in America and worldwide?
Grim is remarkable because he had more of an impact on animation probably than any other animator. He went from studio to studio. He didn't stay at one studio for his entire career. So he had contact with a lot of artists. And whenever he went to a studio, he always made a point of training his assistant and teaching him everything he knew. And the assistants that he trained went on to become the lead animators at every major studio in Hollywood. He trained Mark Davis, who did Cruella de Vil and Maleficent. He trained Seamus Culhane, who directed Woody Woodpecker. Walter Lance, in fact, was his assistant and cell washer when he worked at Hearst Animation in 1925.
And Walter Lance, of course, was the studio that produced the Woody Woodpecker cartoons.
That's right. And he trained Irv Spence, who was lead animator on Tom and Jerry. He had a tremendous influence. And in fact, he even trained Chuck Jones, who was one of the lead animators at Warner Brothers, who did the Bugs Bunny cartoons. So even though Grim never worked at Warner Brothers, he still had a tremendous impact on them.
Tell us about the creation that we're going to be celebrating, Betty Boop. Was that kind of scandalous at the time?
Well, Betty Boop was right on the edge. In fact, all of the Fleischer cartoons were. The Fleischer cartoons were different than Disney because they weren't intended for children. They were produced in New York and reflected the gritty urban environment that the animators were living in. And they were made for adults, cartoons.
Were any of those cartoons banned or censored?
Don't believe any of them were banned or censored, no. They got away with a lot of things in those days. It was pre-code. Betty's clothes are always falling off in her cartoons, and Bimbo is always getting a peek. So it's they were definitely more adult than most other cartoons. Later on, the Hays Office, which was Hollywood Censorship Bureau, came into power, and they had to tone Betty down. So the later cartoons are completely different than the earlier cartoons. She gets a longer dress, and the garter is gone, and there's no more bimbo leering at her anymore. And the cartoons lost something there. There was definitely a energy that was in those early cartoons.
Do you think people are beginning to recognize his contribution to society, his contribution to the popular culture?
I think so. Before, Grimm was the old man of animation. He was 50 years old when Snow White was released. He was older than anybody else in animation. He went back to 1917 in the silent cartoon. He was well known among his peers in animation, but now I think people are beginning to learn the names of the people behind the screen, and Grimm is becoming a lot better known for all of his work than he was probably when he was alive.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. And
okay.
Thanks so much for coming to Wisconsin Rapids. All of us really appreciate it. That's Stephen Wirth, who will be in Wisconsin Rapids the weekend of August 5th to talk about Betty Boop and to talk about Grimm Natwick, the Wisconsin Rapids native and the animator who created her. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. I'm Glenn Moberg. We've got Kathy Miles, the festival director, Dave Engel of the Southwood County Historical Museum, and Jeannie Weymouth, an artist who's working on the project. One of the things Stephen Wirth said is he credits the freedom that the cartoonists had at the Max Fleischer Studios with the phenomenon of Betty Boop. He said the cartoonists experimented and they would draw characters differently from cartoon to cartoon. Jeannie, as an artist, does that make sense to you that you give an artist some freedom and chances are you're going to come up with something great?
Well, I never really thought about it like that, but I think creativity, the license to be creative, just... you know, the sky's the limit. So I am all for that.
And Stephen mentioned some of the things he worked on. He also worked on Popeye. He mentioned Snow White at the Disney Studios. And he also animated Mickey Mouse in Fantasia. So this guy had quite a background.
He really did. And, you know, one thing I don't think we've talked about on the air is that originally Betty Boop was a dog, I think they called it an anthropomorphic French poodle. And Betty's little boyfriend was Bimbo. And within a couple of years, Betty was changed by Grimm Natwick to the vamp, the sort of the sexy girl she became.
And I think that's the point he was making. There's the experimentation. You know, he's changing the main character from cartoon to cartoon. He was allowed to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we look for continuity in everything now. But her, you know, she did start out as a dog. Her little dog nose turned into a little button nose, and her ears turned into those great big hoop earrings. So she transformed, and it was largely due to Grimm Natwick.
Now, she was modeled after Helen Kane, who was a vaudeville singer at the time. And you look at the picture of Helen Kane. I've mentioned this already, but you've got the big eyes and the spit curls and the voice. This is probably Helen's most famous performance.
Nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you. Alone. Boop-boop-da-doo. I wanna be kissed by you, just you, and nobody else but you. I wanna be kissed by you, alone. Papa, my goodness, boy.
Kathy, in the cartoons, they picked Mae Questrell to provide Betty's distinctive voice. Can you talk about her at all?
Well, I understand from a friend of mine who represented her as her agent in New York that she was quite a character. But I have to say that along with Helen Kane, there were other performers who were doing the kind of boop-a-boop-doop signature. It was part of that era, interestingly enough.
And Helen apparently sued Max Fleischer later. I'm not sure exactly what that was all about, but, you know, some kind of copyright infringement?
I think that she was claiming, and I'm not an expert on this, but I believe she was claiming that the boop-a-ba-doop was her signature and that she had created it, and By doing some research, it turned out that an earlier black performer had actually done that. And so the argument was that Helen had actually taken it from an earlier performer.
How many white performers have ripped things off of black performers? And
Dream Girls, point one. Let's start there with that musical. Yeah. It tells you all about it.
Well, that signature has been used by a lot of different performers. Here's Marilyn Monroe.
Just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone. Boop boop be doo. I wanna be kissed by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be kissed by you alone.
So here we have Marilyn Monroe, the...
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Right. the sex symbol of the 50s, reprising this role that was put into play back in the late 20s and early 30s. We've got a Facebook question, and I'm just going to read it for you. There were some folks upset with what they saw as Betty Boop's promiscuity and loose moral nature. Today, she's probably tamed by what goes on television and in the movies. Does she have a modern-day equivalent regularly seen in pop culture for today's audience, a Jessica Rabbit or a Lady Gaga? And I guess both of those are equally fictitious characters. So what do you think? Anyone want to jump in there? Do we have a modern-day Betty Boop icon that's in pop culture today, or was Betty Boop something that simply can't be replicated?
I personally go with Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cyndi Lauper.
Perfect.
Yes, yes. Although Lady Gaga just kind of jumped into my mind, but I don't think anybody could equal Betty Boop.
Cyndi Lauper's voice, you know, her whole approach to singing is very similar to that approach.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and when I talk to people about Betty Boop, there's a dichotomy of reactions. You have one person called her the girl woman. On the one hand, some people see her as a real feminist icon, strong, standing up for herself. Others see her as a sex object. So she has a different impact on people. Depending upon how you're looking at her, and I think that probably has a lot to do with her popularity. You can read her in so many different ways. She has a lot of layers to her.
And one of her films, and I have not seen this, but it is Betty Boop for President. So I don't know, Kathy, if we're going to have that at the festival or not. But I think that's pretty darn interesting, Betty Boop for President. I don't know what her approach was or her strategy.
And, you know, besides all the boop, boop, a doop type of music that's on the silly side, there was in these movies, which you can see at our museum, there's a lot of serious or important music of the time. For example, Louis Armstrong is one of the featured artists, and Cab Calloway, black artists that you mentioned before, they were actually given a lot of play in these movies. And in a sense, the movies are a vehicle for the music behind them.
And Cab Calloway did Minnie the Moocher, which was prominently featured in that one Betty Boop cartoon.
That's her first movie, yeah.
We're talking about Betty Boop, and we're talking about the Wisconsin Rapids artist that created him, Grim Natwick. And we're talking about the Betty Boop Festival, August 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th in Wisconsin Rapids. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join us. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Do you like your job? Well, I think if I were you, I'd go and sell it. You better come out with me tonight.
You mean?
No. There'll be no more
poop-a-doop
out of you.
Don't take my poop-a-doop away.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. And, boy, we're down to our last few minutes here talking about Betty Boop and the influence of animator Grim Natwick and the festival on August 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. There's a historical marker that's coming to Wisconsin Rapids.
All
right. We'll let the historian tell us about that.
I'd also like to mention that through the years, Grimm retained a very warm relationship with his hometown, and he illustrated the local paper company newsletter with the same wit and charm that he did on Betty Boop. It's called Consolidated News, on display at the museum. And behind the museum, we're about to erect a historical marker to Grimm Natwick, inspired by his great nephew, Jim Natwick, who's recently moved to Wisconsin Rapids. So the tradition continues in a family sense, and also with recognition on the banks of the Wisconsin River in downtown Wisconsin Rapids.
And we also have, Kathy, as I understand it, there's going to be a tour of Grimm Natwick's gravesite as part of the weekend?
We will take a drive out to his gravesite, and that will be one of the on the concluding day of the festival.
And I think it would be fun to note that on Sunday afternoon, concluding the festival, if you'd like to see the historical marker, there's also going to be a big birthday party with cake and ice cream in the back lawn of the museum where the marker is, and we'd love for people to come to that.
You know, something about the animation from those early cartoons that he created, it seems so timeless. Back in the late 60s, it was resurrected by R. Crumb and the people who were doing Zap Comics and some of these underground comics, and it just seems to have continued to be a part of the American consciousness ever since then, Dave.
It's a different type of animation than we associate with Saturday morning TV. It's like the jazz singers. It's adult cartoons, although they're not something you can't watch with your children.
That's exactly true. And there was so much detail, and things moved so fast. And you look at a lot of the animation now. Of course, we're in a complete computerized age right now, where that's added an entirely different dimension to animation. But the detail of those early cartoons and the fact that they were all drawn by hand, frame by frame, that's something else.
And you really feel that the animators are having some fun with it when you watch those early cartoons.
Kathy, we're going to give you the last word here. We're down to our last minute or so.
Well, my last word would be that we have a lot of people to thank for the festival, and I really have to mention the Wisconsin Arts Board, the Wisconsin Humanities Council, Gannett Newspapers, TravelWisconsin.com, and the Community Foundation of Greater Southwood County. And we have so many volunteers that are working and have been working so hard for at least 2 years now to put this together. And that's the only way you can do an event of this size, is with a lot of support behind it.
We want to thank today's guests, Betty Boop Wisconsin Festival Director Kathy Miles, artist Jeannie Wayworth, also Dave Engel, the director of the Southwood County Historical Museum. Thanks also to cartoonist Stephen Wirth for his comments for this program. A reminder, the Betty Boop Festival takes place Thursday, August 5th through Sunday, August 8th in Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Special music today by Helen Kane, Marilyn Monroe, and the soundtracks of the Max Fleischer Betty Boop cartoons. Next Thursday on Route 51, it's our annual tradition as we once again squeeze into our cozy Wisconsin Public Radio studio, direct from Miami Beach, Florida. Wausau native Michael Andrews and the South Beach Chamber Ensemble here for their Up North tour for an hour of live chamber music and lively conversation. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.